Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands and give Him praise and thank Him? For He is our great shepherd. He watches over us and guides us and directs us. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Praise the wonderful name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 21. Genesis chapter number 21. Praise the lovely name of Jesus. Do you love the Lord? Hey, it's so good to have each one of you here today. Appreciate our guests being here. And if you're visiting us looking for a home church, we just want you to know you're welcome. And we open the doors wide and roll out the carpet for you and just want you to be a part of our family here at Trinity. We love and appreciate you. Say God richly bless you. In the book of Genesis chapter 21, I want to read the first three verses of that passage of Scripture, of that chapter. A very familiar passage of Scripture. We've read about it, studied it in Sunday school, heard messages preached on it. Verse number 1 says, "The Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for her as He had promised. For Sarah became pregnant and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time God had told him. And Abraham named his son whom Sarah bore to him Isaac," which means laughter. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I have a message that God has laid on my heart, very, very simple. As a matter of fact, you'll recognize the passage of Scripture without me telling you where it is, but I simply want to title my message this morning, "For God So Loved." For God So Loved. In the text that I read, and I'm going to be reading a few other Scriptures, but I just kind of want to set the background and help you to understand that in the context of when God, the three men came, the Lord Himself had to be there, but three men came, set in the heat of the day. Abraham was sitting in his tent door, and they began to speak to him, and the Lord told him that in the season and the process of time, you're going to have a son. And I'm sure Abraham, getting close to 100 years of age, probably caught his breath, but Sarah in her tent overheard them, and she snickered and began to laugh as if, "Yeah, right, this is really going to come to pass." But what I want to set the stage is that there was a lot of stuff going on in Abraham and Sarah's life at that time. They had just been uprooted and going to a place to where God had promised them. They wasn't even sure where it was at as of yet. And there was a lot of things that's going on, a lot of turmoil that was happening and going on. And while this message I'm preaching this morning, I want you to try to think and put on your thinking caps this morning and realize all the stuff that was going on in Abraham and Sarah's life. And I want you to think back when Jesus was being tried and getting ready to be crucified, all the stuff that was going on in the life around about Him. And then I want you to realize and think about what's going on in our life today. There is so much stuff that's going on that I feel like that we have neglected the simplicity of God so loved the world. He loved us so much. He cared for us so much that in the midst of it, when we should have all died and been crucified herself, He annihilated the whole world except Noah and his family, and should have done it again, but God saw a purpose and a plan, and He put you and I right in the middle of it. And we have become so complex with everything that's going on, and there was so much going on in the time of Jesus' crucifixion. There was so much going on in the time of Abraham and Sarah's life, and yet God intervened. God interwove His plan to Abraham and Sarah. God intervened and interwove His plan to the world through His Son Jesus Christ. Chaos was in the world everywhere. Chaos is in the world today. God had an answer for Abraham and Sarah. God had an answer for the world through His Son Jesus Christ. And God has an answer for you and I today. and it's still His Son. It's amazing of our mentality of what is happening in our world today. I want you to stop and think for just a moment. Some of you might not remember, but it's really a burden on my heart. And I know that I'm not as old as some, but I'm quite a bit older than others. But I remember that there was a time and a place to where we did not forsake the house of God. If there was things that had to be done, if God couldn't take care of it on Sunday and we worshiped on Sunday, then it didn't need to be taken care of in the first place. Hello? I'll just dwell here for just a moment, okay? But I think we have forgotten so much of the simplicity that God so loved the world. And now God can't take care of it, so we have to. And we make all these excuses. I love these glasses, because when I am on, I can't see your expressions. But it doesn't keep me from feeling. Hello? I remember 36 years ago, we started the church here and started pastoring, pioneering the work here. And if people called in sick, they would say, "Pastor, I've been throwing up all night. I can't lift my head off of the pillow, but as soon as I do, I'll be at the house of God." Now today, we hear, "Pastor, I got an ingrown toenail, and it'll take a couple of weeks for me to get over it." Used to, people would call in, "Pastor, I died yesterday, my funeral's today, but as soon as my funeral's over, I'll be at church." We have missed the simplicity. Now, I said that to say this, and I'm just going to be totally honest and transparent. God rest my mom and dad's soul, but they taught me those principles. If God can't take care of it on Sunday, you can't take care of it. You don't need to take care of it. It can fall apart, drop off in the ocean. It'll be all right. If you can't give God His day, you don't need to interfere with what He's doing, okay? That's just the way I was. So I'm just going to be transparent, and I'm not going to be disrespectful to my mom and dad. But I remember as a kid growing up, we went to the house of God no matter what. Period. We was faithful to God's house. Wasn't because of the preacher. Wasn't because of the Sunday school teacher. Wasn't because of the position dad held. But it was because we loved God and we desired to be in His house. Nowadays we can make up so many different excuses of what, why, where, and when. And I doubt very seriously if they're going to stand up before God. But it broke my heart. The day my little brother moved to the farm and started talking my dad into baling hay on Sunday. Hello? "Well, Pastor, my ox in the ditch." Then let God get it out. Sunday's His day. I know I'm old fogey. I know I've lost it. But if I've lost it, what happened to the rest of the world? If I've lost it and God can't take care of it. I mentioned again Wednesday night in our class, a lady that I went to church with when I was a little boy. I remember that Sister Clark would put her meat on the middle of the table when she went to the grocery store because she had no electricity, no refrigeration. She blessed it and God kept it till she got it used up. That's the God that I serve. I know we've totally went the opposite direction. But I want you to stop and think about, I mentioned a while ago that we're in such a chaotic world today. Did you ever think in your life that you would see things that's happening in our world today? In one of our third world countries, they've asked the priest to ordain homosexual men to become priests in their precincts. Can I just tell you that we are in a society to where everybody is offended by everything, especially by Christianity? I heard the best of the best last night where they begin to say that, and it's documented, I believe it's in Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, I think it's Massachusetts, to where the word math is a racial word and needs to be stricken. Math, M-A-T-H, 1 plus 2 equals 3. No longer does 1 plus 2 equals 3. It is radical racial. Because the numbers added up to where it brings in racial status. That's the bizarre thing we are in our world today. It's no longer... I have none of this in my notes, okay? It's no longer man and woman that God created. But it's what offends me. It's what bothers me. And we made all these excuses. And I'm here to tell you, it ain't going to cut it with God. I'm here as God's servant, an under-shepherd, to tell you and to help you get to heaven. And if you wear your feelings on your sleeves, you're going to get them knocked off and you ain't going to get to heaven, because God is a God of sanctity. God is a God of life. God is a God of freedom. God is a God of unity. And we've got to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a day when the Congress and the Senate used to listen to the church, but not anymore. Can I get to the good part now? This thing's about to drive me nuts, and I got to tell you this story. You know, I told you at the beginning of this message where Abraham and Sarah, nobody's in any hurry. You don't have to go anywhere for lunch. It's back there. Someone's already back there eating it from you anyway. Abraham and Sarah, there's a lot of junk in their time. They had to worry about... Sarah was all upset because she couldn't have a son. She intervened for God, give Abraham, Hagar, her servant, maidservant, messed everything up. You know, that's where the Arabs come from. They're fighting then, they're fighting now. Sarah got all bent out of shape and made Abraham send Hagar and the son off. They had to worry about that particular time. They had to worry about Sodom and Gomorrah. They couldn't find enough souls down there to even save the city. Abraham pleaded with God. They couldn't do it. I mean, there was all kinds of stuff and all sorts of stuff going on in their particular life. They was messed up in the stuff. And all in Jesus' day, the disciples was all discombobulated when it was all said and done. Every one of them forsook Jesus. There was stuff that filled their lives. There's stuff that fills our lives today. But can I tell you some good news in the midst of all that stuff? You remember when the children of Israel didn't have a king like all the other countries had kings? And so they begin to plead and ask Moses, said, why don't you, not Moses, they begin to plead to God and say, why don't you give us a king like all the other countries? We want a king like everybody else. Getting ready to retire this thing. We want a king like everybody else. So Samuel came. Saul was out looking for his daddy's donkeys. I know I'm making a long story short, but you need to get all this, okay? Was out looking for his donkeys. Samuel came to him and told him, said, I want you to meet me at a certain place at a certain time. I've got something to tell you. And by the way, your donkeys are all okay. I'll tell you where they're at as well. But the important thing wasn't the donkeys. If y'all ain't ever got this before, this ought to make a bunch of you shout. When Saul came to Samuel and was getting ready to get the message, did you know that Samuel had prepared a meal for him? Hey, it wasn't just any meal. It was a meal for the king. Listen. It was a meal for a king. It was a meal for the high priest. It was a meal that was sanctioned, that only the anointed of God could partake of. Oh, come on, church, listen to me. I'm telling you, and guess where Saul was? He was hiding in the stuff. Can I tell you today, by the revelation of Almighty God, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, heaven above has prepared you a meal for the priest and the anointing of God, and we're hiding in the stuff, and we're making excuses why we can't partake. We're making excuses why we can't come to church. We're making excuses why we got this problem and that problem. Hey, I'm telling you, God's got a meal prepared for you, waiting for you, that is not just bologna and cheese, but it's a priestly meal that He wants you to come and partake of. The simplicity. For God so loved. Listen, we don't even deserve a bologna sandwich. But God has prepared you a priestly meal. God has prepared for you that which heaven cannot partake of. Come on, church. I'm talking about the simplicity of stuff. We get so carried away with everything else. We are in the middle of the stuff. Everything's got to be just right. And we're hiding in the stuff while God's got us a priestly meal prepared. Your pastor is... Well, my wife says I have ADHD times 10. I want things in order. I dream about things being in order. I had a dream last night about getting things in order. Seriously. In another country. I was on a mission trip somewhere. Things was in a mess, and I was trying to get people to get stuff in boxes and put it in order. And I got upset at them because they was putting everything in boxes and wasn't separating and putting everything in order in the right place. These trees come down last Monday. It's about drove me nuts because the front ain't cleaned up. It's all Randy's fault. He should have already had it done. But it has drove me nuts. I've had guys call me and say, hey, are we going to work? I said, you know what? We're not working in the rain today. Number one, I don't want to get sick and can't preach. It wasn't just you, Brother Rodney. Brother Rodney's laughing. He was going to work in the rain too, but I had others. I said, I'll get sick and I won't be able to have a voice to preach. I got to preach to you. But you don't know how bad it's worked on me psychological that the front of the church is a mess and y'all had to come and see it. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying to you, but I'm telling you the truth. Any other time, I'd have had everything cleaned up, straightened up, if it had killed me. But there was something inside of me, Brother Aaron, was saying there's more things that are important. There's things that are more important. God's Word's more important. Those things will get cleaned up eventually. But right now, this is more important. I'm here to tell you today, I could have spent through that rainy 2 or 3 days we had, I could have stayed out there in the stuff. And my mind and my heart wouldn't have been prepared for this morning. We're too infatuated by the stuff. And we have put God on the shelf. And we have forgotten the importance of God so loved. I'm not talking about the governor. I'm not talking about the president. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That looked down on a world that was in a mess, that was in chaos, that was struggling, that didn't know which direction they was going, and they sought after pleasure continually. And God says, enough is enough. The blood of bulls and goats could no longer cover it. They was just a substitute anyway. It was just a substitute. But they couldn't cover it. God searched through heaven. We've we've heard songs about it and whatever. God searched through heaven, but He found a Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray for just a moment that we will grasp the opportunity and we will see the privilege that we have through Jesus Christ that has come and said, I'll give you life and I'll give you that more abundantly. It is through Him that we have life. It's not through the joys of this life. And I was thinking as Chris was teaching Sunday school, he didn't have a clue what I was going to preach on, what I had. He didn't know, but it all comes together. I'm here to tell you we have missed it because we have forgotten the simplicity of God so loved the world. And we have been hiding among the stuff of this world. And everything's been a total mess and a total disaster. And we've tried to ride the bumps out thinking someday it'll get better, when what we really need to do is cry out to God. We need to cry out to God. Can I preach to you now my message for the next just a little bit? We have lost our focus on what's really important. Hello? We have lost our passion. We've lost our responsibility. We've lost our commitment. And we've lost our loyalty. You know, surely some jerk has messed up my mind, and so I'm just going to vacate everything else and everybody else and leave them hanging and go do my thing. And we go do our thing and find out the next church has the same jerk in it. You know, sometimes the only way to get your point across is just be real. We just got to be real. We keep running, we keep running, we keep running, and we are missing the priestly meal that God has for us. I mean, I can't be no plainer than that. I'm here to tell you, we get so messed up in our mind, we let the devil lie to us, and we miss the priestly meal. Hey, listen to me. Saul did not get a bologna and salami sandwich. He did not get an egg salad sandwich. He got a priestly meal, the lamb's leg that was roasted, that was of the very best with all the taters and carrots. He got the best. And we're settling for egg salad. Hello? You might like egg salad, but it does not compare with what God has for you. It does not compare. We have forsaken all of that. We have went astray, and we have lost our commitment. We've lost our loyalty. We've lost our responsibility. We've set aside our passion. I wonder sometimes that if Jesus feels like the doctors of our land. Some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? The only time we need them is when we're hurting and we want them to fix us. I don't see Him any other time. Do you? And that's the way we do Jesus. The only time we want Him around is when we're hurting and we need Him to fix us. We need Him to put another $20 in our pocket. We need Him to put a little bit more gas in our tank. We need Him to make our tummy feel better or our head to quit hurting. That's the only time we want to talk to God. The only time we want Him around is because we're in the stuff. And as long as we're in the stuff, we're going to miss the priestly meal. We've lost our focus. Lost our focus. Somebody better time me. It's going to get away from me. I want to tell you that things was in a mess. God promised Abraham and Sarah a son. They tried to intervene. They messed it up. That ought to be less than enough. Hello? I said, hello? God promised them and said, I'll take care of it. They went outside the bounds of God and they messed it up royally. And all this time later, we're still dealing with their mess. God made a covenant with Abraham. Abraham sat in the tent's door, told you about the three visitors. I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of the rest of this message. I think you got it figured out. Abraham was informed that in the course of time, him and Sarah would have a son. Sarah heard the news and began to laugh. Abraham pleaded with Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm telling you, all this stuff happened all at once. We've said it before, if we could just handle one thing at a time, maybe we could deal with it. But when the devil throws everything all at once, it seems like it's overwhelming and we can't handle it. And we forsake the priestly meal that God's already got set for us. Abraham pleads for Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's daughters committed fornication with their dad because all their family was killed. They said, let's get daddy drunk. We'll lay with him and have children with them. If you hear about in the Bible, Moab and Ammon, it's because of their children that produced the fruits that causes pain and anger and caused armies to fighting amongst the children of Israel because of Ammon and Moab. Okay, I got to stop here just a second. In the midst of it all, we try to fix it. Hello? Abraham, you know, was traveling. Abraham was journeying, and he meets a king of Gerar by the name of Abimelech. And he was scared to death of Abimelech. Can I tell you, you don't have to be scared of nobody, but to fear God and to love Him. Men can only destroy this body. God can destroy both body and soul. But we do not have to fear, hello, perfect love of God casteth out all fear. When Abraham come to Abimelech, he was afraid, and he told Abimelech, listen, he told Abimelech that Sarah is my sister instead of his wife. If he had just been up front, he could have ate the priestly meal. But he was afraid of Abimelech and said, this is my sister. Abimelech took his wife, Sarah, as if it was his sister and put her in his harem, his group of girls. And that night, Abimelech had a dream. And it was simply this. God said, if you touch her, I'm going to kill you. If you touch God's anointed, you can rest assured God's going to put His thumb on you. He told Abimelech, if you touch her, I'll kill you and the people in your house. Your women will never have children again. Sounds pretty stout, don't it? Can I tell you, God don't mess around. If He says 1 + 1 = 2, it equals 2. Hello, church. I'm telling you. You say, man, that's awful stout. It's stout, but God's got a priestly meal prepared for you. You don't have to go that way. You don't have to be mixed up in the stuff. God's got a meal for you. Abimelech come to Abraham, make a long story short, ask him, why in the world did you lie to me? He settled the score, told him why. They made a covenant together. A little bit later on, they come together over and had an argument over a well that was dug. They took care of that. So there was all kinds of stuff going on. Abimelech confronted Abraham. And then Isaac was born, and even to a man and a woman that's after childbearing age. Can I tell you, when things seem impossible, God can still do it. Hagar and her son Ishmael had to leave because Sarah was all upset. Abraham made a covenant with Abimelech. And Abraham journeyed in the land of the Philistine many days. And there came a certain day, and I'm going to conclude my message, okay? Maybe. And then there come a certain day that Isaac was born. I don't know how old he was. On the eighth day he was circumcised in the covenant of God. And sometime after that, God come to Abraham and said, I'm going to tell you to take your son, which is a total replica. I want to show you a couple of things, okay? Will you stay with me for just a little bit? I'll show you a couple of things. A total replica of what God done for us. Are you with me? Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 3. I didn't hear very many amens. Are you with me? Thank you. And it came to pass, verse 1 of chapter 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. He wasn't a cast out child. Wasn't a stepchild, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Somebody say Moriah. and offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, didn't even tell him where he was going. He said, just take off, and I'll show you where it's at. Early in the morning, saddled his ass, took the two young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood and burnt offering, rose up and went to the place where God told him to. There's a meal prepared for you. It's one of a priestly type. He said, take your son that I give to you into the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. Moriah, in a interpretation, is interpreted seen by Yahweh, another name for God. In reference, it says, in a nail-biting, almost near sacrifice. There was some turmoil. Abraham was a man of God, but I'm telling you, he might have been determined in his heart and his mind, had a pure heart to do what God told him to do, but I guarantee you he was wrestling with himself as well. Next morning he took everything he needed, headed out for the sacrifice. On the third day, he seen the mountain, Mount Moriah. On the third day, did y'all get that? On the third day. And by the way, just so you'll know, it's Mount Moriah is where today the Dome of the Rock sets. Abraham commanded his men to stay with the donkeys. Isaac and him headed toward the mountain. I want you to get this in verse number 6 of chapter 22. Did you ever notice who carried the wood on their back to the top of the mountain? Hello? Abraham took the fire and took what was needed, but he took the wood and he laid it upon his son Isaac. Put it on his back. Anybody else you know that had wood on their back that was going to a sacrifice? When they got to the top of the mountain, Abraham built an altar. I'm telling you, church, in this day and hour, we need to build an altar daily to the Lord. Everything was put in place and Isaac was laid on top. Can I tell you, we need to get everything in place and put ourselves on top. Hello? Now, for just a couple of minutes or less, can you just imagine what's going on back at the house? There's a mama by the name of Sarah that's about to have a coronary. I know what Daddy said, and I know what God spoke to his heart. And I know that I laughed in the tent when I was told I was going to have him and didn't believe it. But God, surely you're not going to take my son now. Surely you're not going to take my... It don't tell what Sarah's going on, what Sarah's happening, but I guarantee you, Sarah is on her knees in the back part of her tent seeking God and praying with everything that's within her. Will you agree with me? I'm here to tell you today, there needs to be some mamas and daddies in the back of their tent and in their prayer closet. You need to be praying and seeking God with all your heart. Get your pity feelings off of your sleeve because your kids, your sons and your daughters are dying, going to hell, and Satan sacrificing them and blowing their minds and blowing their brains with either guns or with drugs. And it seems like all we're concerned about is what we feel and what's going on in our lives. But I'm here to tell you, somebody needs to bombard heaven. Somebody needs to get a hold of God. Somebody needs to seek Him with everything that is within them. I'm telling you, it's time we get serious. We're going to see some serious things happen in our world, and it's time we get serious. But I guarantee you, Sarah was in the back of the tent seeking God for a son she didn't think she'd ever see again. Hello? I said, Sarah was in the back of her tent seeking God for a son she didn't think she'd ever see again. Can you imagine Sarah's feelings? Can you imagine her agony? Can you imagine her thoughts? Can you imagine? I guarantee you she didn't sleep a wink in 3 days or 4.
She didn't know she'd ever see her son again, but in Abraham's faithfulness and obedience, God moved. And let me tell you that Abraham, God said, I've seen a place in your heart that is pure, and you've surrendered all, and you've not withheld anything. And I bring you a substitute for your son. Look over in the thicket, there's a ram. And Abraham offered the ram and placed his son off of the sacrifice. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, because my God will provide. Chris, come to the piano, but listen to me. Don't leave me yet. Okay, he's going to come to the piano, but don't leave me yet. I got to get this to you. Listen, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We've hid ourselves in the stuff God's prepared through His Son Jesus Christ, a priestly meal. And God sent His Son and not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. Listen, church, in Isaac's situation, he was to die, but God provided a ram. In our situation, we were supposed to die, but God provided a lamb. My. God loves you so much. In all your mess, in all your junk, in all my mess, and in all my junk, and all my impurities and all my stuff, He should have slapped the far out of me and got me out of the way, but He cared enough that He said, I'll still do it. My mercy and my grace is renewed daily. I've prepared a meal for Him if He'll only wake up and realize and partake of it. It is a priestly meal. Did you hear me, church? Did you hear me? I said, listen, in Isaac's situation, he should have died, was going to die, but God provided a ram. But in our situation, we were supposed to die, should have died, but God provided a lamb. Just as Isaac headed up the mountain, so did Christ. Isaac's wood was laid on his back, so was Christ. Just as Isaac's father gave everything, so God the Father gave everything. Mary, the mother of Jesus, wept at the cross of the tomb, and so did Sarah in the tent door. Or in the back of a tent. Has God seen Abraham's heart? God seen his son's heart when he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. I'll give it all. I'll give it all. Not many of us would give a gift without expecting something in return, especially a life. Hello? But Jesus Christ willingly said, Father, I'll give it all. Without expecting anything in return. And in the promise of that, He prepared a meal. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did He not tell us He'd make us kings and priests? Holy Spirit, have thy way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. 3 days, Abraham, it was before he seen the mountain. Jesus was 3 days in the earth taking care of business. Our Heavenly Father was Jehovah Jireh. He was then and He is now, church. I believed Abraham told Sarah, honey, I and the lad will be back. Come on, somebody preach with me right about now. Don't you know? Don't you know, Brother Heston? Don't you know? Abraham said, honey, me and the lad's coming back. You know what? The last thing Jesus told His disciples, boys, don't fret it, don't fear it, because I'm coming back. Hey, listen to me, church. He said, I'm coming back. Don't worry, don't fear. The angel said, these men, look at me. These men, you look, this Jesus that goes away, He's coming back exactly like He left here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Stand with me all over the building. Church, I just want to let you know that right now in the day and time we're living in, if you ain't got it figured out by now, we are in a mess and we are in a state of chaos. Man has messed up and caused chaos in the beautiful design of creation that God has set. But can I tell you, in spite of the chaos, God said, I'll put it back together through my Son. Hello? He said, I'll put it back together in spite of all the chaos. For my Son will pay the supreme sacrifice. And He said, because my Son will pay the supreme sacrifice, my creation, I'm going to give them an opportunity to be put smack dab in the middle of my plan, that whosoever believes on Him shall have everlasting life. If we only believe, He will remove the chaos of our life. The Father engaged all of heaven and earth to find a substitute for me and for you, that we might not have to die for our sins. But because of His Son was willing to pay the full price, He pulled us out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, cleansed us with His precious Word, and saturated us with His blood. And because of that, we become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, kings and priests with God. For God so loved the world that He gave, putting us in the middle of His plan, and then equipping us with His love and His gifts. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I just come by to tell you today that, for God so loved that He gave a lamb in place of a ram. That He give you a priestly meal instead of a bologna sandwich. No longer do you have to put a lamb or a ram on the altar, for the Lamb of God paid the supreme sacrifice in the middle of the chaos and mess. He made provisions for you. He made provisions for you. Listen, I cannot be adamant enough. I know you may think I'm a little crazy and a little wild and a little adamant and kind of went a little berserk. Don't tell me I went berserk when your life depends upon it and heaven and hell is at stake. When the rest of the world can go crazy over a ball game. Don't tell me I can't go crazy for the things of God and for rescuing your soul. I don't know where you're at today. It really don't matter. What matters is your relationship between you and God. What I'm saying is, it don't matter what I think or what I propose, which I don't at all. I'm just giving you the facts and telling you that God is here to touch you today. He has prepared a meal for you. If you're here and you're unsaved, if you're here and you're wrestling, You absolutely feel like your breath has been knocked out of you. Without hesitation, I want you to slip out of your seat and come to this altar. I want you to make an altar right here in front of God and everybody else. I am sick and tired of the devil setting me up, making chaos all around me. Come on, don't hesitate. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. You to come right now and make an altar before you and God right now. Say, God, I'm sick and tired of eating bologna sandwiches, egg salad sandwiches. I want the priestly meal that He has for me. Can I give you a total awakening with the simplicity of the message that I give to you today? Everyone in this building ought to be around this altar saying, God, forgive me for being lax. God, forgive me for overlooking the blood that was shed on Calvary. God, forgive me for being among the stuff when I needed to be, where You needed me to be, where I needed to be, where You wanted me to be. Jesus is calling. I'm here to tell you today.
Have you come to the end of yourself?
King of kings and the Lord of lords has stepped into this place. He desires for you to be well.
desires for you to be well. Anybody else?
Hey,
if nothing else, you need to come and stand around this altar, lifting your hands toward God and thanking God for His Son, Jesus Christ, that died a cruel old cross and put you in the middle of His will, in the middle of His plan. Lord, I love you and I appreciate you. I thank you, Jesus. How many would just come and stand around the altar? Say, God, I just come to give you praise. I just come to worship you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Has paid the supreme sacrifice to put me in the middle of your will.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy.
Lord, I love you, Jesus.
From the ashes and
your life is born.
Jesus is
called
me. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought.
Us, oh God, not to neglect what an awesome, awesome privilege we have. Not only to be sons and daughters and priests and priestesses with Jesus Christ, our King. But, oh God, help us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus, that it's your blood. It's your blood that covers our sins, takes them all away. It's your blood that cleanses and makes us fit for heaven. Father God, we pray when you look down, you don't see our sins, but you see the blood that's been applied. Lord, I love you. I appreciate you. I worship you, O God. I love you, Lord, and I love these people. God, I pray that you will touch them. Put your loving arms all around them. Bless them and encourage them, Lord Jesus, I pray. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Bless your people. Bring them back at the appointed time. See.